Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Some kids have and some kids don't, and some of us.
Wow, wow. Blues in Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm. Twice.
Boy, they got outshot. Boy, they got outshot bad.
What a deal that is, that you play in St. Louis. The game wraps up at, what, 10 o'clock, I guess? That was an earlier start on Saturday. And then both teams shoot off to Manitoba. What is that, like a 20-minute flight?
No.
About 40 minutes.
It makes no sense.
And then you're playing like an early evening game in Winnipeg, like 18 hours after you got done in St. Louis.
Why don't you just play it here? And then the Blues, when they go up there, they play twice there. Wouldn't that cut down on travel and wear and tear and hassle and everything?
Yeah, but who doesn't love a home and home, especially with Winnipeg? 46-24, the Blues were outshot last night. 4-0, they lose.
They got 48 shots the night before.
Crazy.
Crazy and deranged. Crazy and deranged. Hove and B.
Missing some of their top players.
You're missing your top players. Doug, a lot of listeners are sending in pictures of their significant others again.
What are they?
This is my wife and her girlfriend that hooked up. We would like Doug to join in for me. Tim, can you help a brother out? That's from Caitlyn Jenner's coin purse.
The first sentence didn't make any sense. This is my wife and her girlfriend.
Well, I guess there's a picture. This girl's very pretty. And I'm like, well, I don't get it. There's only one picture. But then you scroll down and then there's this dude and his wife, who's also attractive.
Okay.
And there's the gentleman, and he would like you to join in for him. So I guess that would be an MMFF, except the M&M would be hooking up while the F&F would be
hooking
up.
No, they wouldn't be.
Yeah, I don't know if the lesbian is.
I like the sounds he makes.
Speaking of Lana Rhodes, although I think that was Keisha Gray, and there's so many nuanced differences between them, CBS NFL host James Brown retweeted Lana Rhodes.
What?
I saw that, but claimed he was hacked. He must have been hacked.
Like eight
right?
hours ago. Like out of nowhere. You're just sitting there on the Twitter tweets, and there's James Brown retweeting Lana Rhodes. What was the tweet? You know what the tweet was?
No, you think he maybe just accidentally hit that, his hand brushed
against... And then claimed he was hacked.
Yeah. I mean,
you can accidentally retweet if you're scrolling through.
Yeah, you could.
Yes, that is true. I've accidentally liked things.
Right. Yeah.
Now, in my case, if I were to retweet a porn star, people go, oh, standard play. For James Brown, it struck people as an outlier.
Right. And
well, I mean, he immediately tweeted out that he was.
What time did he retweet?
That's midnight Eastern time.
All right. Because sometimes
that's the witching hour, Doug.
And Anderson Cooper got caught in that about a week ago too.
What was he retweeting?
Tweeting something. He claimed he was at the gym and stepped away from his phone, and
then somebody grabbed his phone to retweet something.
Somebody hit it. He claimed somebody else retweeted something or made a.
That is because
statement.
If that really is the case, nobody believes you.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm. It's true.
But it could happen. You could walk away from your computer at work or anywhere, or your phone.
Here's the thing.
Anybody can walk by and just hit a button or two, and your whole career is in jeopardy.
In a gym, though, there's cameras and stuff, you would think. And would someone really go to someone else's phone? I would take the accidental retweet excuse over someone else did it.
Now, there's a lot of it is blacked out, but you can get the gist. JB James Brown, sexy little brunette, blank, blank, and blank, her personal trainers, blank, blank.
Doug?
I don't even know what we just heard.
No, but it couldn't have been good.
There's a lot of blanks.
Everybody.
Well, it wasn't blanked out on the tweet, I'm sure, but here, I'm blanking it out.
Okay.
Very nice. And it was Lana Rhodes.
Yeah. And a picture of Lana. Sexy little brunette.
And that's what James Brown wrote?
Yeah.
What the hell?
Oh, so he didn't like retweet. He tweeted something.
He tweeted something at her. She's I don't know what she tweeted. Oh my God, poor guy. Everyone watches porn through and then it stops. So I don't know what she said.
Yeah, she has a trouble with the English language. Yeah, she tweeted something out on Saturday night and she said she feels so bad for her neighbors when she's in a hotel room because she sings a lot, except she spelled neighbors N-A-I-H-B-E-R-S.
Close enough.
There's the tweet. If you want to see the blackouts, you can pretty much know what she's saying.
Oh, Buck Swope's the one who captured it.
You think maybe he tried to send a...
Oh, my God. Yeah, so it's not a... It's not a...
It's not a retweet situation.
The way it looks like James Brown wrote sexy little brunette. Looks like the word sucking is in there. Mm-mm. And then there's an F word in there, and I condemn the F word. Her personal trainers, and then big... And then it's a word for rooster. It's a rooster.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to say.
Is it possible that he was trying to send a private message to somebody?
Lana.
And instead it went
public. Can you text Lana and see if she knows anything about it? She probably went to bed a half hour ago. But
well, she's probably still up.
Yeah, that's actually
singing
right.
To the
No one's going to put that out there when he was hacked.
I'm going to say, do you know who James Brown is?
Here's the Shrewsbury Seminary students. Everybody's just sending women in for us. Isn't this nice?
I suppose even if he wasn't hacked, even if it was him, can't you just say, so what? You think that's really going to affect his career somehow?
That's what Lana's point was, even though it was misspelled. Yeah, and question marks like she writes in Spanish.
It's not like these guys that are abusing people or anything. It's a whole different level. Just to make a comment like that, you shouldn't
look
do
at you,
it.
Doug. Welcome to the dark side.
I don't care. I couldn't care. But if you're a network and your guy is out there doing it, you would be concerned?
I think you'd probably have a conversation with him. Say, you can't be doing this. Here's your warning. Don't do it again. If you got to get off Twitter, get off Twitter, but don't do that again. I think if it's a guy you're looking to get rid of, maybe that's the excuse that you use. But for the most part, if you're just writing something, even if you're writing something stupid like that, not mean-spirited, not attacking somebody, not lying about anything to try to make someone look bad, just a tweet like that, you got to let that go.
I agree with Doug. It shows that he's a real person. You know, he's... gets horny just like everybody else. And
yeah, I could see the network executive having a news conference and saying that very thing. Plowdy.
I didn't say that. This is just coming from me.
Les Moonves will be saying that today.
We're actually going to give him a raise for this.
Saying for me, that's what I feel like.
Well, I think he's married, so he's probably more worried about that.
Well... clearly, it's not something you want one of your high-profile people to be doing. But this is a guy that's served that network for years and years. He's been very popular. He's been very good. He's got no history of problems at all. And just a tweet to a porn star, I don't think you fire him over something like that.
Well, he said he was hacked. How are you going to, you know, I don't know how you prove that it wasn't hacked.
Yeah, I don't know.
Doug Buck Swope just texted me. Let's see what we got. JB's tweet phrasing was the same as the original. I think he hit the Twitter share icon by accident while watching pornography. That's from Buck Swope's investigative work.
I don't know what that means.
I actually don't either. I don't know what the Twitter... Plowhawk, do you know what the Twitter share is?
That lost me. I'm not quite for sure I understood that either, so I'm with you.
Thank you.
Well, now, what was the... what was the guy who was... tweeting nude pictures himself, Huma's husband.
Oh, Wiener? Anthony Weiner. He's upstate doing time.
But right. He said he was hacked. Initially, right. He said he was hacked. And that this thing ruined to a joke.
And he's doing time because they were underage girls.
No, I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying initially, yes, this was what he did was much worse than a... But he initially said he was.
I was going fishing.
It sounds like what you were fishing for was sex with a 12-year-old girl.
Right. That might be QX for boy 19.
Yeah. That's a whole different level of creepy.
Crazy and deranged. Hey, Richard Justice could be with us at 8:30. Nothing doing really over the weekend outside of the Dodgers and Braves trading bad contracts.
That was weird.
Matt Kemp, Doug, is back with the Dodgers.
Because there was such
Adrian Gonzalez off to Atlanta, will be released on Wednesday.
Yeah, what's up with that? Who does that?
There was such a clamoring to get Kemp back with the Dodgers, and of course the Braves needed Gonzalez, so they could immediately release him.
Now who's got to pay him?
I believe
these contracts are guaranteed. If you cut him, you still got to pay him.
Yeah, that means that he can go anywhere he wants and play for the league minimum, while the Braves, I think, would assume, unless they had some arrangement with the Dodger, but someone else will pay. Whatever team signs him will get him for the minimum, and someone else is paying the
right. Well, I guess, and I haven't seen
that means he'll be playing somewhere.
I haven't seen all the figures for the contract. It must be that Matt Kemp's contract is so much bigger than Gonzalez that the Braves were just willing to eat Gonzalez's contract.
Ken Rosenthal this morning on theathletic.com. I'm one of the few subscribers, so I will read this piece. The Cardinals profess to be happy with their retooling after adding outfielder Marcell Ozuna. They're not inclined to trade the Orioles, a highly regarded young starter such as Jack Flaherty or Alex Reyes, after parting with Sandy Alcantara in the Ozuna deal. But they remain open-minded to further moves, as evidenced by their continued pursuit of Josh Donaldson, who, like Machado, is a potential free agent, and ongoing talks with the Rays about Colome and Longoria. An all-in play for Machado or Donaldson would not be the Cardinals' style. Then again, neither was the team's pursuit of Giancarlo Stanton. The Cardinal offseason has been marked by a certain urgency. Ken Rosenthal on his story on all of the suitors for Manny Machado.
I've seen it. I know that they were trying on the Machado front. I'm not saying it's going to end up, but they were very aggressive, which is what we suspected they would be. They certainly need another piece in that bullpen. I think that's clear. I think they could use another starter. And all this talk about Archer from Tampa, I just can't imagine the Rays giving up on a guy who's so young and under control for 4 years at a reasonable salary. I don't care what kind of rebuild, that kid would be part of it, wouldn't he?
You would think.
Because everyone's saying, well, we'll get Colome, which I'm on board with. I would even be on board with picking up Longoria's contract to get Colome, but people are thinking...
Really, you would be?
I think I would be.
Wow.
Here's
surprised
why.
By that.
Here's why.
It's not like Colome is Trevor Hoffman of 1998.
No, but I think he's another... I think he can be a good closer. The people that I talk to from Tampa love him and think he is got the right makeup to be a good closer for years to come. I don't know what that means, but he's well vetted there. I'm just thinking at third base right now, I mean, unless they need an infielder, unless you want Jed Jerko at third base, and I think Jed is better with fewer at-bats and not playing every day, and I think Longoria would be fine. I know he comes with a lot of money, but if you end up solidifying the bullpen and get a guy who could be an upgrade at third base, so not based on last year's number, I think I'm willing to do it.
$81 million, and he'll be 36 when he's making $22 million and the club option for 2023. Right now, again, if, you know, Derek Gould, he talked about it on our show. It was his piece yesterday. He just texted me. I got to return his text. About the Cardinals, this two-year window, which is something that really is, at least in my experience, and maybe when it was going on, that's unfamiliar territory for Cardinal fans. Where because it's just been this continuous
cost certainty, yeah.
Of cost certainty and at the very least competitive. And I've said it a billion times on the show, but I love the fact that every year, you know, at least you think, and it has proven to be the case, even in down years of 07, 08, 10, 16, and 17, that they were at the very least competitive. Even if you weren't like, yeah, they're going to win a championship. Hell, the two of the years they won a championship, you probably weren't thinking they were going to win a championship. A couple of years you thought they were going to win a championship. They got swept in 04, swept in 09 in the NLDS. The point being, this is very rare for the Cardinals to be, if indeed Derek's perception, and I'm sure his perception is based on conversations with people such as John Mozeliak, is that the organization's moving, not all in, although that's what Rosenthal described it in that piece I just wrote, but that they are very aggressive on trying to capitalize on the two-year window they have with Ozuna. What I worry about, it cuts both ways. I love it. Super exciting for the next 2 years, if that's the case, in particular, potentially 2018. The risk is you now invite potential years of going into the year thinking, probably not really having a chance. And I haven't felt that way about the Cardinals. God, I don't know. Maybe going back to like 1998 or 9. So, you know, and some people are happy in the moment, but you got, in my opinion anyway, the way I analyze it is the big picture, not the short-term rush. And so I do wonder about that. And if Manny Machado, I never heard this before. It used to be Harper. You only heard Harper with the $400 million thing. Now people talk about Manny Machado as a $400 million guy. $300, $400 million.
Well, it depends what he does this coming year, because he didn't have a great offensive year last year comparatively. Let me ask you this.
And I just am like, I can't imagine the Cardinals doing that, and I just don't think, that Manny Machado is going to go, yeah, I'm going to pass on free agency so I can stay in St. Louis for the next 8 years.
He won't do that. I will say this. The Cardinals are in a tough spot because I think it might be more prudent to wait to have made deals and go after the big ticket guys that are out there after. But they're in a tough spot. They had to upgrade now. They can't go through another year. So they were aggressive, which is what a lot of people thought they would be. But let me ask you this. So if you're looking – not long term, but for the next couple years, which is, you know, not what you would normally do with Longoria at third and Jerko as a piece that you plug in and try to optimize him wherever you can. Isn't that a better team with Longoria at third playing every day and Colome in the pen?
It depends, of course, on what you have to give up to get him. If you're going to get Colome, who led the league in saves, and Longoria, who's a gold glover, and you're throwing in Archer as well, you'd have to give up a boatload to get those three guys. So there's going to be a weakness somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I think it could be, you know, prospects, because they want to dump that's the whole thing, is they want to dump the Longoria contract. And I'm just saying, unless you're touching the roster now where you're losing a piece, where I don't think that would be the case, would you just think that's a better lineup? Would you...
Assuming you're not losing any other major league talent, sure.
That's all I'm saying. And again, it's short term, not looking at it long term, which is, I think, what the Cardinals are saying. Look, we have money, we have options available for the short term. Let's do things differently this year and try to go for it.
I'm okay with the short term approach when it relates to these mega high dollar players. Like only knowing you're going to have Ozuna for 2 years, I'm fine with that. I think you really get into trouble when you start taking on 8, 9, 10-year contracts.
I agree with you.
With guys making
big time.
We just
cited an example. Well, a few of them: the Gonzalez, Kemp, and then guys who certainly aren't headline players like those two were in Kazmir and McCarthy. And it's you're just trading dead money.
They don't ever seem to work out. Things change so quickly. You know, a player is a fantastic player 1 year, and the next year he's just almost done. It's not unusual for that to happen.
And I know, and I feel like I'm kind of doing something I try to avoid when hosting the show, which is speaking to a wing that really, in the whole scheme of things, is simply a sliver of the audience. But I know that it's said, and probably some people are listening and thinking it, what do you care? It's not your money. I understand that. My reasoning for caring, and hopefully this can be used as a way to stifle these further comments, although I know it won't, but it impacts the organization. Dead money impacts the organization. These contracts become albatrosses, and so you want to minimize those. I worry the Cardinals have one potentially with Dexter Fowler as it is. Not right now, but in a couple of years. May not, but sometimes you do. And what an organization tries to do, which is what the Rays are trying to do now, is try to unload something that they see. Because Longoria, if you're like, you can get Longoria for 1 year and then he's a free agent, you'd be like, okay, I'd be all over that. Mm-hmm. The issue is 2020, 21, and 22, and he's 36. And ball players in 2017 aren't performing at the age of 36 like they were in 2004. Probably not a coincidence. So that's my reasoning for it. But I agree with what the Cat just said in the sense that the Cardinals would likely trade fewer prospects or a less significant prospect to the Rays if they were to pick up that contract, because that is the incentive on their end. For the Rays, they want to get that contract off the books before Longoria has the inherited no trade of being a 10-5 guy. We'll get the perspective of Richard Justice of the MLB Network and MLB.com correspondent joining us right now on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Richard, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Just talking about the Cardinals and all of the potential options, the Rays discussions, the Orioles discussions. Did you hear anything of note over the weekend regarding those two teams in the Cardinals conversations?
You know, not in the Cardinals conversation, but I think throughout the game there's great skepticism that either Machado or Donaldson is going to be traded. and more so, let me just say, more so Machado. I think what the Orioles are doing is they're taking a lay of the land. They're going to go back to their owner, and they're going to, here is the offer. You know, you really waited too long. You know, on both Britton, Machado, I don't think they were ever going to trade Adam Jones, but on both Britton and Machado, the prime time to trade him was All-Star break last year. Okay, that's gone. And now what can you get? What do you get for a one-year rental? You have to have a team that's all in and doesn't care if you lose the guy. And there's not many like that. And besides that, Dan Duquette's going to go back to his owner and say, here's the deal. You know, for instance, the best rumor was that they would trade Machado to the White Sox and he'd be flipped to the Yankees. But all that aside, I don't think people believe that the Blue Jays and the Orioles are going to trade their third baseman. Now the Rays are different. The Rays tend to look at things very logically, and so if they can get a market, they're going to trade Colomay, no doubt about that. I don't think. And then what's the market for Archer? And at that point, you go to Evan and say, "What do you want to do?" So I'm telling you, whatever you think he is, he's better. He's better. He's better on the field. He's better off the field. He is a big time guy. He is exactly the kind of guy you want representing your community. And yes, he's 32 years old, but you're not going to get a perfect deal.
No, what do you think if because last year was not a good year, and people are concerned because he is 32, and there's a number of years and a lot of money left on that contract. The team that ends up with Longoria playing third base, what are they getting in your opinion?
A pro. I mean, he's a real pro. I mean, he's been in MVP voting. He's won Gold Gloves. And he's a really good player. He was coming off 2016 was a better year for him than 2017. But he's still a very productive player. He's a really, really good defensive player. You know, he makes you better. Machado is. I don't know if he's one of the five best players in the game, but he's right there. And Donaldson would be a fan favorite in St. Louis. He plays the game like a strong safety. I have joked with him in the past that he could play in the NBA if he wanted to. I mean, he's a jock. He's a catcher. He was a catcher at Auburn, and then the Cubs drafted him as a catcher, and the A's, he had played third base at Auburn. The A's took him out on a backfield and said, "See if this kid can still play third base." And they came back and said, "My goodness, this kid can do anything." You know, and some of it works against him because he plays 100 miles an hour and he gets hurt at times. You know, and he is he's 31 now, right? Is Donaldson 30? You know, he's not a young guy in terms of baseball years. He's not a young guy. So, you know, how many prospects do you give up for 1 year of that guy? He's 32. Donaldson's 32. But, you know, Machado is an explosive talent. If I had to put a dollar on it, I'd say none of those three guys is going to be traded.
And we've heard Chris Archer's name being thrown around, too.
Right.
At that point, wouldn't it cost you a boatload of prospects to get somebody like that?
Yes. A boatload.
I would think.
That's the only reason they're looking at it. They're looking at the world logically. Where are we in the American League East pecking order? Well, they're fourth. Now, what could they do to get beyond fourth? Probably nothing. You know, I don't know how good Toronto is right now. And that's why you consider all those options. You know, a 1 year of Longoria, 1 year of Machado. And what can you get for Archer? He's their most marketable guy.
Yeah, he's also under control and young. I can't imagine them parting ways with him. He seems to be a guy you want to hold on to if you're hoping to, down the road, get better. All right, so go ahead.
Yeah, but see, when you're going to make a trade to get prospects, you're going to have to trade a guy like that to get a boatload of prospects. And that's what appeal, you know, the Orioles, I think their most appealing trade would be to the White Sox, and the White Sox find it appealing because then they can trade him to the Yankees and get prospects. The Yankees the Orioles are not going to trade Machado to the Yankees. It's really competitive. But the Cardinals have so many of those young arms, then that's the thing everybody's wanting. But if you're John Mozeliak, do you want to trade those young arms?
And they have young arms, but And the Cardinals have said that they're very confident in the way their rotation stacks up now. I think they're maybe a veteran arm away from being where they want to be. How do you see it?
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Where are they right now in the standings? Where were they just today? Where the Cubs are, do the Cardinals make the playoffs today with what they have today?
I'll be honest. I think the Ozuna thing will help them dramatically. But I wonder about that rotation. I wonder because of Reyes coming off. I know they'll limit his innings. They're going to start him in May, possibly in the bullpen, and then you're relying on some guys who have to go out there and show it.
Fangraphs has them at 88 wins. That would be 5 games behind the Cubs. Now, Fangraphs already had them projected before they made any of these moves, maybe after Mikolas, already had them making the playoffs as the wild card team, the second wild card team. So now they've gone from 84 to 88 wins, and they would host the wild card game. They're 5 behind the Cubs. Obviously, the Cubs are not finished yet, but I think a 30,000-foot look at it would be they're in better shape than maybe people think. You say, well, who's going to pitch the ninth inning? But what you do is you take the whole and say, where are you as a whole? And obviously, they're not done yet. I mean, they want somebody to pitch the ninth inning still, right?
Right.
Yeah. And that guy's out there. We all know who that guy is. I mean, Wade Davis would look pretty good in a St. Louis uniform, but that's a lot of money. And then one more bat. Let me ask you this. Why hasn't there been more talk about Todd Frazier and Mike Moustakas?
With the Cardinals or with anybody?
No, with the Cardinals.
And I don't know.
Would you be for that?
Well, Todd, I think Todd Frazier is a great guy and obviously has a ton of power, but offensively he has some shortcomings, and I think that the Cardinals don't really want to get into any sort of bidding war with Moustakas, and that hasn't even really started yet.
Right. And he's coming off a great year. Todd's a really good defensive first baseman. And we think about him because in this division, you think about him being an old guy. He's 31 years old. He hit 213 last year, but he had a 7.72 OBP. Got on, 83 walks. He's a productive player. He's a really good player. And you keep all those prospects if you just go out and get him. He had been associated with, I thought he was going to sign with the Angels, and now the obvious fit is the Giants, but the Yankees are still looking to bring him back. Moustakas is playing that Scott Boras waiting game, and you never know where that's going to go. Yeah. And you never know where the money's going to go on that.
Feels like with Moustakas, you'd be buying right at the top of the value. I mean, he's never had more value.
True. Yeah, but that's true. But there's not a you're not going to get a perfect guy. I mean, you're not going to get let's say Alex Bregman. You're not getting him, and you're not getting Justin Thompson. I mean, so there's going to be a yes but on every guy, I would say. But I mean, hey, the Cardinals had a good week.
Yeah,
Marcell Ozuna. I thought from the beginning that if you could put truth serum in John Mozeliak, he would say, okay, we're going to play this thing out. But we're just as happy, if not happier, with Ozuna as Stanton, because then that gives us the freedom to do so much more. We can jump in. Because if you get Stanton, now you're really having to look at your budget carefully. Now they have the money to go get a closer, to go get a third baseman, and now you're looking at a team that everybody's going to go into spring training saying that's a playoff team.
Yeah, and for Ozuna to have the kind of power numbers he put up in Miami, not particularly a hitter's park, who knows what he's capable of? He may be a 40 home run guy here.
And he can go get it in center field, and he's a really, really good guy. Here's the Marlins. A couple years ago, one of their guys told me, that guy is not any good, and we're going to trade him. I said, but all the scouts say he's a really good player. And he goes, yeah, we're probably wrong.
What do you think of Mike List, the player that the Cardinals signed from Japan? Obviously, he found some things while he was pitching there, including a curveball. I've seen some of the video. He does look like a different guy. And there's enough players that have come from those leagues, to Major League Baseball, where they can sort of quantify the numbers. How do you think he'll fare?
Oh, well, yeah, he's 29 years old. I think he figured it out, and I think a bunch of teams wanted him. he was a coveted guy. He comes into the money and all that. And Luke Gregerson is a big-time guy. I mean, a guy that'll take the ball 8 days a week, never complain, never, you know, he just wants, he wants to go compete. And so, I mean, their bullpen got better. In a perfect world, you would still want that guy to pitch the ninth inning. But bullpens aren't being comprised that way now. When you look at, you know, what the Rockies have done, what the Astros have done, you just go get as many arms as you can and let the manager figure it out. You know, there's a reason Greg Holland and Wade Davis are going to get more money than everybody else, because they are proven commodities in pitching the ninth inning.
We've seen with relievers here especially that a guy is just lights out 1 year, and then the next year you can't get anybody out. I think maybe that's why the Cardinals have been reluctant to shell out a lot of money for a relief pitcher, because it seems to be a revolving door.
Right, and the model is you find a guy that your baseball people believe in. Like, the Dodgers signed Brandon Morrow for $1.25 million last year, and there wasn't a better reliever in baseball than Brandon Morrow, and now he got bigger money to move on down the road, to, I think, to the Twins. So, yeah, it's just get as many good arms as you can. It's true, but I've seen them. Sometimes they're good 1 month and not so good the next month.
Richard
In the World Series.
Richard Justice of the MLB Network with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Richard, always enjoy getting your perspective. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Richard Justice here with us on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Sometimes like Rosenthal's a guy who pauses and I think he's done, and then he's mm-hmm. and I, right. Richard, I was off of my reads.
I said he was a nice guy. I bet he's a little cranky about getting cut off here. It happens.
It's an accident.
It's a tough read.
It's an accident.
Well, he didn't really get cut off. He was just saying goodbye.
He probably want to say, fine. Great questions. My favorite show. You guys are best in the morning anywhere in St. Louis in that studio.
It's a nice gesture.
Well, so will the Redbirds do something this week, or they wait a while now?
I think they're going to let it come to them, Doug.
Well, that'll be interesting to see how that shakes out.
This is horrible. Morrow went to the Twins. And when he said that, I was like, did I miss? Is he talking about something? I was kind of looking at my Instagram during that. So is he, Morrow went to the Cubs. I don't know. Mr. Felch says this guy doesn't know anything. Well, he's a very credible and well-known, and we mm-hmm. like having him on
no,
the show,
he is,
writer.
But maybe he misspoke.
Justin Thomas, didn't he mean Justin Turner?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Doug, Justin Thomas, the 2017 PGA Player of the Year.
Good player.
He was working on his putting at Bears Club yesterday. You see that?
I missed that. And Jupiter, the Bears Club, is that the one you're talking about?
That's right, actually.
Yeah.
You remember?
I've driven past it. I didn't see him work on his putting.
Why don't we play 36 in February?
That would be fun.
And then maybe we'll do 18 there and then 18 at Seminole.
Well, that'd be enough golf for me for a couple of years, probably. When you're not playing very well, golf's not a lot of fun.
God love Richard, but man, oh man, Justin Thomas was at third base and the Twins just signed Brendan Morrow, even though he's a member of the Cubs. That's from Blues backup goaltender Daddy Padre.
Oh, well.
Every once in a while. Mm-hmm. But he's a great guest, and
he's a good man.
And he's a
great
good
American.
Dude.
Yeah.
But just to clarify, Brendan Morrow is still with the Cubs, and yep. Justin Thomas is focused on Augusta.
Justin Turner, who's talking about third base.
And he was asking me about Todd Frazier. I don't know where Frazier. All I read was that he's going to be back with the Yankees.
Guys, just Jeff Passan always makes it clear when he's done with an interview. Thanks, Mr. Tarker.
He just bolts. He bolts.
he starts a little conversation, and then when you respond, then he gets mad. That was totally. If it were your fault, I would still be bringing it up to this day. You did nothing.
This is Jeff Passan we're talking about.
Yeah, he was in the wrong on that. He's a nice guy, but if
Do
you're going to
audio of that.
If you're going to wade into the political discussion, then Doug has his right to respond to what you're saying. Don't mm-hmm. get bent out of shape about it.
But he did. Oh, that's all right.
It's all right. You're fine with it?
Sure. Some guests expect to come on and talk about baseball, and then when it goes another way, they get upset. They don't want to do that.
Well,
that's fine.
Yeah, but he jumped in. It's not like you were talking politics when he came on.
Mm-hmm.
Then he mentioned something, and then you responded, and he got mad.
Right.
He could have said, how about those Redbirds? Are they ready to soar? Let's put a poll on Twitter.
Right.
Mouth stuff is what we practice at my Bears Club. Thanks. That's from Doug Vaughn's illicit East Side Lover.
I don't know what that means.
No, I don't either.
There's a lot of things I'm thankful that I don't really know what it means.
Yeah, I'd let that go.
Sometimes I feel like I'm Steve Martin and John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Thank You. How does he know where we're going?
No, yeah. He couldn't. He couldn't possibly know.
Doug, Mike Francesa.
He's not even on anymore.
No, but he signed off.
Oh, he's done now.
Yeah.
Are we going to still be playing clips?
I would hope so.
Okay.
Here is how he opened his final show on Friday. This is at the end, even though he's going to be on CNBC tonight.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
I thank everybody for yesterday. Everyone who came down to the Paley Center, to my guys here who did a great job. And I saw a couple of things that, you know, people send me different stuff. A couple of people saying that I really acted well since I knew every guest that I had put the list together. I was not aware of anybody on that list except I did know Imus was calling because I had to do his show to reciprocate. I figured Dog would be calling, so that didn't surprise me. I mean, I could have figured on some of them. Okay, there were some ones that I knew would be there, like Jim Nance or Susan Wallman, but a lot of them, some of them absolutely shocked me, and I have to admit, and these guys did a great job jamming into a show where you still got to get in, you know, 18 minutes of commercials an hour. Getting 85 guests into the show is not easy. And we got 80, according to the count that Chernoff kept, 85 guests into the show yesterday, which is a lot. And I thank everybody who took the time to do it. And some people who I had not talked to in years. I mean, really, and some who I didn't even know were talking to me anymore, like Dick Ebersole, who hadn't talked to me in years because he was angry about something I said on the air.
Ima still has a show?
Yeah, that was going to be my question. I thought he was out years ago with the Rutgers basketball team.
Rutgers basketball team, 2007.
Yeah. Where is he now?
I think he's brokering time over, like...
Well, he's got to be 80 by now, too, wouldn't he?
And then, Doug, this is him... saying goodbye.
Or Francesa.
Oh, no, Francesa.
I've been asked a lot over the last couple of weeks, you know, how much you're going to miss this. And like I said, I don't know yet. I'm going to miss it, I'm sure, a lot. But I can tell you this. I'm very proud of what Mike and the Mad Dog accomplished. I'm very proud of what I've accomplished. I'm very proud of what the fan has stood for. And like I said, I think it's built on a foundation where it'll be around and it will do well for many, many years to come. I want to thank everyone that I've had a chance to work with. I wish you all success. I wish the people who are going to follow me, Continent and Maggie and Bart, nothing but success. I wish them good luck because they're part of the fan, and I will always be part of the fan. It's something I helped create and something that will always mean a lot to me. Can't spell Francesa without F-A-N. And what I want to say to everyone I've worked with, thank you. To the people who have been my day-to-day people here with me, my update guys, Mons and Chris. Cherney, who's been with me for 25 years. We were able to be incredibly successful together, and that's really what it's about. That's what his job is. He had to manage me, and that's what he did. And we were able to win a whole bunch of championships, and I'm very proud of that, exceedingly proud. But more than anything else, going out, I want to thank you guys, the listeners, the audience, because without you, we don't last a week, we don't last a month. So what I'd like to say to you is I will miss you, I thank you, and from the bottom of my heart, I love you. Goodbye.
There it is, Doug. Right. The end of the Mike Francesa show. Yeah. Decades.
How long was he on there?
Plowlock, how long was he
on? I think 30 years.
30 years.
Was he really?
Part of it was with Dog.
Yep.
Now, what
Mad Dog, who I cannot listen to for 5 minutes.
I can't even look at him.
No.
There was a brilliant guy that we work with who now runs a media company who said, leave him wanting more. I think he meant that in reference to his podcast, which is
the woman station.
No, it was just something that
hit me like a bolt of lightning.
Different situation.
So, Francesa,
it's the 5th anniversary of that's coming up. And I hope Bud Swope has like a 7-part series.
I would like that. But Francesa's show is still really popular, and he does leave while being on top.
How old is he? 65, I think?
But he was. Did we hear he was making $5 million too?
Who's that?
Francesa.
Yeah.
The Fox Sports One guys make $5 million. Francesa makes $5 million.
How about this? Get some good hot Everybody, takes going. Maybe you'll make $5 million.
I don't know that I would. I tried that.
Actually, Francesa only makes $3 million annually. Mm. Not the coveted $5 million.
Yeah, I'll bet you there's more in there.
Yeah, like
doing
in St. Louis dollars, that's like 70,000.
Doug, what about in New York? They told you you couldn't have jumbo sodas and everything, didn't that? Isn't that a...
Oh, they came out against that, didn't they?
Yeah, that probably bothers you.
It's
that
not a soda, it's tea.
Well, I'm saying, can generally speaking, your beverage. You don't like people telling you what size beverage you can have?
I don't think anyone should tell you what size soda you can have.
I know,
have.
I'm trying to get you $5 million by leading you into a rant, you maroon.
Russo also makes $3 million annually and has just a hair more net worth than Mike Francesa.
How much? What's the net worth?
$20 million for Russo, $18 million for Francesa, so right there.
I guess we just got to scream about crap. I
don't
know. You
ever see Russo on the MLB?
It's unwatchable. I'm watching it, and I love it, especially like this time of year, last week in particular. And then he pops on at noon, and I'm like, all right, I'll hit mute.
Oh, yeah. It's just as obnoxious as it could possibly be.
But give him his due. He's built a career for himself, and there are people, even though you don't see it, that like him.
I guess.
No, it's not. He wouldn't be there unless he had a fan base.
I think it's strictly a New York type of attitude that he's got. So I guess they love him there.
All I know is I've been a fan of ESPN for many years. I've been outspoken. I've been at the cusp of that, and also Disney. And you can say whatever you want about.
You're bootlicking right now.
I have been a big fan of Disney and ESPN for these many years.
You think Francesco will go the Larry King route, where Larry King said, "I'm retiring," and about a year later, he's all over the place doing podcasts and YouTube videos and his own show.
See, I think King was forced out. I don't think he really wanted
really?
To.
Piers Morgan?
I got the sense he was forced out and didn't really want to leave the business on his own anyway.
Well, Francesco's already openly said he'll do stuff outside of the radio station. I think he has 3 months in his contract after he retired that he can't do anything. But I imagine in March and April, you will see him creating his podcast network or something. I mean, this will not be the end. Luckily for us.
Yeah, we need more Francesa, not less.
And my buddy Paul Nanos, who used to produce at ESPN.
Who's your buddy?
Paulie Nanos.
With the restaurant?
Paulie Manos.
But he started out interning for Mike and the Mad Dog.
Oh, yeah, he's right there.
For like a year.
Yeah.
Got to know both those guys well. Then went on to ESPN and produced the Dan Patrick Show and other shows.
Little Patty.
And he told a story that he ran into Francesa and Russo at the 2000 World Series. Hadn't seen him in a while. Yeah. He said Russo ran up to him, Paulie. Started shaking hands. He goes, Mike, it's Paulie. Francesa just looked around and kept walking.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Nice guy.
So he's not known as a nice guy?
I always hate it when people start...
How do you know?
Yeah,
from everybody I've talked to, he's not known as a nice guy.
Okay. Big-time Paulie.
But we don't know that he heard him or recognized him.
But it sounded like he had the same group of people with him for like a couple decades, didn't it? I mean, he was thanking like guys that have been with him for 25 years.
That Mons guy has been there a while. Tell.
And I got news for you.
Like, I'm proud of the fact that I think I've whacked like less than five people in 12 or 13 years.
In my tiny little...
usually is a tell more on the other side than...
In my tiny little world... I'm nice to fans. I'm nice to people that come up. Always, 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 always. There are times I don't hear someone or I'm about to go on the air and it's like, oh, he big time. That's why I get mad when people say big time. Because I make it a point to be nice to the people that listen to us, that watch us on Fox Sports Midwest, soon to be something else. But you can have someone who had that one moment where say, oh, he's a mean guy.
Paulie Nanos, not Paulie Manos, which has the lemba.
Best lemba in town.
I'm just going by what people have told me.
Right.
And I could be, you know, I don't see the guy. I don't know. But people I've talked to that said, no, he's a dick.
I don't know. And so who knows? Maybe he makes so much money for the radio station that they don't care. But I would imagine if he were a problem behind the scene, he wouldn't have the same group of people around. Like, for example, Keith Olbermann. Doug, I'm not making a political commentary, but it's an observation that you'll probably side with because it's critical of Olbermann, how he goes through producers like when he was on.
Oh, he's a total nut job. I know a guy I worked with him in Boston.
My brother worked with him.
Oh, did he really?
Total nut job.
Yeah. At ESPN, yeah.
I didn't know the Penguins at ESPN, really. Huh. So it's like he's like a tortured, brilliant mind that then winds up, I guess, acting in a way that either he whacks producers or the producers quit. That's a tell. So I don't know. And so it's an official disclaimer, because what do I know? You have a better intel on it, somebody who actually worked with him. But if you have the same group of people, and in his case, he was at the same radio station for however long, that to me would be an indicator. Like if we were signing off for this program, I would have to like write out the list of radio stations we've been at, Doug, and it'd take me a half hour to get through them all.
And right. Thank Barrett. I'll give you a good example. When I'm doing pregame, all right, the fans are right there. You've seen, because you've done live hits there. So I joke around and I always say, all right, people, we're going to do regional cable here. Do not make eye contact with a talent.
Good for you.
And so, like, I'll see a kid on, no eye contact. I'm kidding, right? Everyone knows it. So I saw someone tweet at someone else where I was tagged in, and they go, I saw him tell a kid not to make eye contact.
He lost. Terrible of you. Come on. It's just a kid.
Hey, the cat, watch. My little bro, Fulton's Finest, says you big time in the game. Thanks. That's from the 16th Street Ninja.
Here it comes.
Here it comes.
Here comes a flood of big time victims.
No, I see cat. Whenever I'm at the game, I see the cat, and he'll stop and talk to people when they see him, and he never ignores anybody.
Thank you.
He may be in the middle of something, and you're trying to yell at him while he's doing a live shot. Obviously, he's not going to stop what he's doing and turn around.
Well, tell that to the kid who went home in tears.
Kid did not go home in tears. You know, as a kid, I'm playing with these folks.
Joe Roderick just posted on the fan page wanting to know if he can get some PGA Championship tickets.
I don't have any.
Well, it wasn't directed at you.
I think the tickets themselves are sold
out.
That's
what Jennings, I think, posted. He said it's sold out.
I don't know about practice rounds, but I know the tournament proper is sold out.
Now, can I bring my son to that? That's probably bad ball, though.
What if he starts, put him in a papoose.
Yeah, what if he starts
Yeah, no, it's not about that. What if, like,
he starts crying?
What if, like, Eldrick? But I would think, like, when Jason Day won the PGA Championship, what did he win, that Whistling Straits in 2015? Is that right, Doug?
Hell, I don't remember.
So if I win it, I would think they got to let him, but what if...
Well, I thought you were going as a fan. You're talking about as a player now.
Why would I be going as a fan?
Well, yeah, I forgot you were in the tournament. Your dad... pulled some strings.
Wow, drop out of that.
You're actually in the PGA tournament.
He already made the cut.
Yep.
Okay.
Didn't you know that? Didn't you read?
And so you want the child, the baby, the wunderkind, you want him on your back in a papoose?
No, I want him to be able to be in the gallery, but what if? Because sometimes now he just starts screaming, sometimes not even crying, just like making sounds. And what if, like Eldrick, and we're in the final group, of course, and I'm going to wear Sunday red to show him up. What if Eldrick's in his backswing and Jameson screams, then that might taint my victory.
No, here's what you tell Tiger. You go, deal with the kiddo.
That's what I said, Eldrick.
Can you imagine the
gallery? He's older than me.
The gallery, you got Larry, you got Misty with a gimp mask, and then right behind it, you got Cucky, then Deke shows up. And can you imagine that gallery?
It's a total excuse to say, oh, someone made a noise in my backswing. That's why my shot was bad. You don't have the concentration powers to go ahead and finish a swing because you heard a noise.
Man, Stevie used to police that fairway when people's cameras would go off.
Yeah.
I've
gone spastic. I heard a click in the background. How could I possibly take my shot?
They say the hardest thing in sports is hitting a 100-mile-an-hour fastball with a round bat. Or, you know, that's one of those things that they say. Yet in baseball, you can scream.
People are screaming.
NFL, key play, you can scream. Mm-hmm. NBA, there's only certain sports where you have to be quiet. Right. And I'll tell you, I've covered golf a little bit. It's been a while. But there are people who take that plastic placard, quiet sign, and they use that like they are the law. Right. They will come after, even if you're not... You look like you might make a sound.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we go to spring training, Kat, you will be there for certain. Doug, you never know your situation on that
until the
half hour before the show starts.
Yep.
And I'm not sure what I'm going to do this year. This time now, having a tyke, we're either going to go down there and stay there for 2 months, and I'll do the show from down there for 2 months, or I'm staying back in St. Louis for the first time since 2007 when the cat was getting a bathroom. And if we do, I want to go to the Honda Classic because I think there's a chance right now, with Tiger looking healthy, that he would play since he lives like 5 minutes from PGA National, in addition to usually has a great field anyway. Ricky Fowler won it last year. And at that point, I don't think I'm going to qualify for the Honda. Now I am going to play in the PGA Championship, but I don't think I will have qualified for the Honda. I'm going to try some Monday qualifiers and just see if I can shoot
Just dip your toe in the water, so to speak.
In the 80s. But I just don't know if that number is going to be good enough.
I wouldn't count yourself out.
Oh, you could try. Maybe there's not a big Monday qualifying and a lot of people drop out.
Right.
And they do what they do at the LPGA Championship here in St. Louis, where they come out to the course and say, had a number of withdrawals. You're all in. Come on in.
Oh, is that what happens?
Yeah, come on in.
Great.
Well, it could be you could position fan pinners all over the course, and every time one of the other golfers is in the backswing, they can yell out, Freedom! And these guys would just go, oh, my God! They couldn't possibly finish a swing because there was a slight noise in the background. That's why the shot went 50 yards to the right in the drink.
Why is it that they have to be quiet at golf or tennis? And then tennis players wear watches.
Tradition, I think.
Why do tennis players wear watches?
See what time it is, I guess.
Well, they're in the middle of a match. Do you need to know what time it is?
No.
You wouldn't think. It's almost like saying...
They all wear watches?
A lot of them do. In this third set... If it's not over in 15 minutes, I'm out of here.
Could it be a wristband?
Well, most of the tennis players, most of their big sponsors are either Timex or one of the watch companies. So I imagine for sponsor purposes, they wear them. And some of them probably are Fitbits as well to check.
I'll tell you right now, it's a mistake. Timex and watch companies should be sponsoring this show because...
Yeah, you would think.
I mean, the athleticism that we display on a daily basis here, better than anything you see in tennis.
The way we can swivel in a chair, like nobody's business. I don't know why a tennis player would have to be counting his steps. I would think that they're probably in good enough shape as it is. If they're going to be out there for a couple hours. They wouldn't think, I had a sandwich yesterday. I better run that off.
Tim, you will make it, buddy. I have faith in you. Thanks, Grimey from South County.
Where's this thing?
I just don't think I'm going to qualify for the Honda because that's only in 2 months. You know,
and because the rules are stacked against you in an unfair way.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
If it's pure talent, you're in.
Yeah,
I think
sports are unfair oftentimes, and this is one of those times.
Politics out of golf.
Well, they get a couple of sponsors exemptions. Just suck up to the people who are putting the tournament on.
Timex. And get them to sponsor the show, too.
Timex.
I'll have them move my tea time to after 11 Eastern to make sure I can still do the show.
Rolex tag. I never heard of Timex.
See if we can do a remote from PGA. Be nice. But I might have to get out early to get on the course.
That would be tough.
Excuse me. You mind if I tee off early? I got a show to do.
Very important show. We're talking to a porn star about the NFL lines.
Tim, if you say the word, Belle Reve will be crawling with lemmings who are hell-bent on ruining every other golfer's round, and St. Louis won't host another PGA event due to all the arrests of harassment and assault.
Thanks. I think that's possible.
From Fred Astire.
Yeah, I think that's in play.
Tim, can I carry your bag and wash your balls with my mouth? That's from the Barnhart Brawler. Wow, that's not usually his bag. Maybe him and James Brown were hacked by the same guy.
Who's to say it's not his bag? He wants your bag.
Doug, what you're doing is you're engaging in some of the same behavior that you scold others
for. That's right.
Yeah, I've met this Barnhart Brawler. He's a snootful.
He seems like a great American, even though you're in different parts of this political spectrum.
Yeah,
he still can be a great American.
Could be.
Doug, we got a break. Send your emails in. Hotshots email today, the morning after at InsideSTL.com. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. The email of the day comes your way at 9:45. Misty Plops, Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech, and Tunnels 12,000, all tied with 2 wins in December. And keep in mind, now this is something people go, it's only December 18th. I got plenty of time to catch up. Okay, but we don't have as many shows left this month as we would on a standard 18th, okay? Because the holidays are coming. They're coming, Doug.
Okay, yeah.
A week from today is Christmas. Baby's first Christmas, Jack. Baby's first Christmas, okay, Jack.
Yeah. Have you got a lot of shopping still to do?
No. I've got everything taken care of, actually, for both Anna Marie and Jameson.
And me?
I get you 8 presents each night.
So they're taken care of.
Right.
Even though we already...
Oh, it's already...
We already had it.
Well, get over to Chesterfield Mall. There's no waiting over there.
You're doing a live read for Chesterfield Mall? I don't see it on the books.
I was there Saturday for a birthday party for my 2-year-old nephew. And then afterwards, I said, I'll do a little shopping. I'm over to Macy's. It's like the tellers are walking around following me. Can we help you? Need anything?
Tellers? That's at a bank.
It's a bank. It's
shopkeepers,
bank.
Whatever they're called.
Cashiers?
There's like nobody there. I got the whole store to myself.
Nobody at Crestwood Plaza anymore either. Just rubble. Just dirt, rocks.
At least there's stores at Chesterfield Plaza.
Mall. Nurse?
Mall, you're right.
Thank you. I'm heading out to Jamestown Mall today.
Gone.
Okay. I'll change my plans. It's Ryan Kelly Morning.